I'd like to welcome everyone to the service this morning. It's good to see every one of you. It's lovely to see all the boys and girls and the young people as well. And for those that are visiting with us, I want to give you a very special welcome. May the Lord be pleased to bless every one of us as we've met together today. And whenever the children come up and take part a little later in the service, may the Lord give you help. And may the Lord help you to speak out clearly the words of Scripture that you're going to recite, and even to sing clearly the wondrous gospel truths of how Christ has loved us and given himself for us. It's great to see each one, great to see the church so well filled, and the Lord be pleased to richly bless us this morning. We're going to commence with the singing of hymn number 79. O come, all ye faithful, joyfully triumphant, to Bethlehem hasten now with glad accord. Lo, in a manger lies the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. This is a worship service, as let us come and with our hearts and with our voices sing unto the Lord and worship him who came to this earth for us.
Glory in the highest.
seated. That's great singing. Let's come to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask for his blessing upon every aspect of the service, and even the Lord's help to be given to the children as they'll come to take part. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we thank you for each one who can truly say that they worship the Lord. They worship him who loved them and gave himself for them at Calvary. Father, he who then rose from the dead, having paid the debt for our sins with his precious blood, he now lives in the power of an endless life, and he ever lives to pray for us. Father, I thank you for each one who has been born again of the Spirit of God this morning, whose eyes have been opened to see the wonder that is in Jesus Christ and how much he has first loved us. Thank you, Father, for each one this morning who has, by the Spirit of God, not merely had their eyes opened, but, Father, have been given a new heart, a heart that lives, a heart that lives to praise the Lord, that lives to serve him, that lives to love him for all of Christ's love to them. Oh, Father, I thank you for each one that's saved this morning. I thank you for each of the boys and girls that are saved, for each of the adults and young people that are saved. And I ask you, Lord, that you would be pleased to bless us in this service. Undertake for the children as they will come to take part in a moment or two. Father, help them as they sing. Help them as they will recite what they have learned. Oh, Father, bless the truths that are presented throughout this service. And may they be truths that have an impact. May the word of God as it goes forth be like the snow that comes down from heaven. Father, may it bring forth fruit unto perfection. Father, undertake, we pray. Bless every heart. We ask it in Jesus' name for his eternal glory. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite our brother Frank to come and to introduce the young people.
Okay, we're going to go straight into our program with the boys and girls coming up to sing their first chorus, beginning Away with Away in a Manger. All right, boys and girls, up we come. Thank you. Now we're going to get into the readings. We have some boys and girls missing this morning due to bugs and various other things, but we're blessed to have such a lovely Sunday school. We're going to start with readings from Valerie's class and Faith's class, so they're going to come on up. All right, Valerie.
And they brought forth a firstborn son. And wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Laid him in a manger. There was no room. And I was in the same country. Shepherds abiding in the fields.
Keeping watch, right, Isaiah? Sam?
Over their flocks.
Good boy. Right, Adam. By night.
By night.
Good boy. Thank you.
And lo, the angel of the Lord come upon them. The glory of the Lord shone on about them. And they were so afraid, the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, and for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly with the angel, a multitude of a heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men."
Boys and girls love their names read out, but I wasn't going to read them out first in case I missed the order and got mixed up. But here they are. You've just heard Keziah Haffey, Seth Horner, Adam Poots, Julia Haffey, Micah McGill, Jessica Blakely, Emma Arnold, Darcy Ferguson, Caleb Meek, and Isaiah Foster. Lydia Wilson, Bella Ferguson, Rose Foster, Phoebe Foster, Bethany Haffey, I'm not sure where Bethany was here this morning or not, Elsie Meek, Tilly Brown and Katie Haffey. And now we're going to go straight into another chorus by the boys and girls. All right? Go ahead, the big ones to the back. And it begins with C is for the Christ child.
Thank you.
And now we have readings by Ruth Jackson's class, Ruth's looking after Leanne's class, and there is Hannah Morrison, Judah Robinson, Rose Patterson, Sam Haffey, Rayleigh McMurray, and Daniel Arnold. And I know they'll not get confused in their order. All right, Ruth.
Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king,
behold, a king's wise men from the east to Jerusalem,
saying, where is he, king of the Jews?
For we have seen the star in the east, and we are come to worship him.
When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him.
And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born.
Back to the Reverend Foster for a moment.
Well, I have to say, boys and girls and young people have done very well so far, and I'm certainly looking forward to what you still have to sing and invite to us as well, but very well done. Of course, I do want to thank the teachers throughout the past term, and the Lord be pleased to bless you, teachers, for the labour of love that you've shown to the Lord and indeed to each child and young person. Can I also take this opportunity to thank all the parents for sending your young people and children along week by week. It's our true delight to have them. I want to thank you very much indeed for sending them. And of course, boys and girls, we must thank you and young people for coming Sunday after Sunday to the Sunday school and Bible class. In terms of announcements, please remember that this service is not the only one today. There is another service this evening, and that starts at 7 p.m. And boys and girls, you'll be able to sit back and just relax because the Youth Fellowship will be taking part this evening. And certainly I'd like to invite everybody to come back this evening again to worship the Lord and to hear the gospel as it is presented in song, as well as in the reading and preaching of God's Word. There will also be a supper after the service this evening in the format of some shortbread, some mince pies, and even a cup of tea and some juice. And it'd be great to see you along this evening. Please remember that there will be some community singing before the service, so don't just come in at 1 minute to or 2 minutes to 7 o'clock. Feel free to come that little bit earlier, even a quarter to and 10 to 7. There will be a season of prayer beforehand at 6:30, for those that are able to make it. And I would like to just say to Youth Fellowship that there is going to be a practice at 5 p.m. You've been singing well, and our practice is up to now, but this will just hopefully get you into that singing voice for the service this evening. So please remember the practice at 5 p.m. On Tuesday of this week, God willing, there will be the Bible study and prayer meeting at 8 p.m. And please remember that there is no children's meeting or Youth Fellowship this Friday, that is now finished for the season until the new year. Then next Lord's Day, there is no Sabbath school either. Please remember that there will be no Sabbath school on Lord's Day, the 25th of December, nor will there be any Sabbath school on the 1st of January either. But it will then recommence on the 8th of January. And of course, the children's meeting will recommence and the Youth Fellowship will recommence that week, commencing the 8th of January as well. The next Lord's Day, there will be the morning worship and the evening worship. I may just say that the session have discussed in relation to the services next Lord's Day, and while we believe it's very important, and as the Lord commands us to meet together to worship the Lord, and we invite and encourage everybody to come next Lord's Day to worship the Lord as normal, yet the session decided to move the morning service just back 1 hour. So it'll commence at 10:30 next Lord's Day. 10:30, and it'll run for the normal time. And then in the evening time, there will be the service at 7 p.m. as normal. And there will be the seasons of prayer before and after the services. But it'd be great to see as many come out to worship the Lord next Lord's Day. Some additional announcements that I wish to make, and that is that next Lord's Day there will be a retiring offering for the missionary work of our denomination. And the treasurer would also like me to mention that next Lord's Day will be the final opportunity for those who had wished to give in this calendar year to the Lord's work. And then finally, can I just say that whenever it comes to Christmas week, the prayer meeting, which is normally held on a Tuesday, it will be held on next week, on the Wednesday evening. Again, at the normal time of 8 p.m., but just to give you a little bit of a heads up, just over a week away, that's prayer meeting will be held on the Wednesday. But that's all the announcements that I wish to make. We're going to sing one further song, and we can all take part in this, and it is hymn number 82, for those that are using a hymn book. Otherwise, the words are going to be on screen. While shepherds watch their flocks by night, that's what we've just been hearing about in what the children have been reading. All seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around. And we'll stand to sing after the musical introduction, please. Seated. I'm just going to invite and hand the service back to Frank at this stage.
And the choruses begin with, "Oh, how I love Christmas." I said at the outset that we were so blessed to have so many boys and girls in the Sunday school, and we're even more blessed because of what we have learned in the past period of new boys and girls, or new boys, I think it mainly is, in the home. I don't know whether the boys are going to outnumber the girls or not, but God has really blessed in the in the Sunday school here, and indeed in the congregation. Could I also say, and I'm not going to mention names, but we are doubly blessed with the boys and girls, especially those who are older, who are able to help us out with the tiny tots, who are able to do work for me even for today and behind the scenes in regard to verses and readings and getting things in order. And it augurs well for the future of God's church here whenever you see the way that God is working in heart and saving souls as well. Over the past years, we have seen God constantly at work and doing a blessed work in the children's hearts. And may they grow up to know God and go on to follow him, even in the midst of the challenges and the difficulties and the trials of life. We're now going to finish off with three Sunday school class readings, and I'm going to read out the names of the classes. They'll not get mixed up. They're old enough not to do that. But there's Ruth Jackson's class. We have so many Ruths. No, Ruth McCauley's class. I think we have three Ruths in the church, and I spend my time trying to figure out quick who's who sometimes. We have Christine's class, and then we have my class. But I'm going to read out the names. There's Grace Morrison, Poppy Blakely, Ashley Cooper, Emmeline Meek, and Rebecca Robinson. Joshua Haffey, Bobby Brown, Oscar McMurray, Thomas Arnold, and Adam Wilson. Daniel Ferguson, Charlie Patterson, Elijah Robinson, Sarah Jean Brown, James Wilson, Andrew Chambers, Joshua Cooper, and Lily Putz. And the first class up is Ruth's class.
And I said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.
Then Herod, when he had called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star had appeared. And when he had sent them up to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.
When they had heard the king, they departed, and knew the star which they had saw in the east, but
before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy.
And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way.
And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.
Well done, girls, and Merry Christmas.
When they arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by prophet, saying, In Egypt have I come, my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked at the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then he was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying,
But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And when he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, so that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, he shall be called a Nazarene.
Thus said the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus said the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages,
that thou mayest say to the prisoners, Go forth to them that are in the darkness, see yourselves, they shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he hath that mercy on them, shall lead them even by the springs of water, shall he guide them.
And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted.
How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice with the voice, together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion.
Behold, these shall come from far and low, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinan. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and bring forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted.
Break forth unto joy, sing together, ye waste the place of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath conformed his people, he that redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare in his holy arms in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God.
O everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat.
Ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Incline your ear and come unto me, here and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David.
And now we're going to hand the rest of the service over to the Reverend Foster. Thank you.
That table there. Thank you. Thank you. Well, again, may I take this opportunity to thank all of the young people. The work that they've done today, greatly appreciate it, and may the truths of what has been said, may we not just forget them, but may we think upon them, and certainly may they change our lives. Now, if you have a copy of God's Word with you, could I ask you please to turn with it to Luke's Gospel chapter 2. If you haven't got a copy of God's Word with you, that's okay, just you listen to what's being read. Now, I knew that my two girls, and indeed my young son, were learning from this passage to be recited today. And while I was praying about what to speak on this morning, it didn't come into my mind that this is what they were speaking on. I'd forgotten what they were speaking on in that sense whenever I was praying. But the Lord has led my heart to this particular passage, and indeed to the shepherds in this passage. And I want to read just a few verses, and then I want to speak for a few minutes on the shepherds. But Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, let us hear the Word of God. Everything that's taught in the Sunday school and everything that's preached, it must always be based from the Word of God. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 8. Having read about the birth of Christ, we read in verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." Amen. We're entering there at verse 20. Let's just bow briefly in prayer. And if you haven't prayed at all before the service today, can I encourage you just to pray now? Lord, speak to my heart. Have a word in season for me. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you, Father, for the life that it can bring. And we pray, Father, that life would be brought from thy word today. Oh, Lord, that those that are lost would be saved. Or maybe they've heard the gospel 100 times. Maybe they've only heard it maybe once or twice, or maybe not even at all. But Father, may thy word bring forth life today, saving the lost on the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Father, for those of us that are saved, may we be strengthened as we see afresh the good news of this period. Christ coming into this earth, the sea of sinners. In Jesus' name we ask for your blessing now. I ask for your help now. Fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit of God and use me simply as your channel. And Christ will be seen and exalted and trusted in. Amen. Amen. Now, a month or two ago, I remember doing an object lesson, and it was on a £20 note. Now, I've got money with me this morning. It's in my pocket. Which of you want the money in my pocket? Put up your hand. All right. Now, here is what I've got. Who wants that? You still want it? What is it? It's a penny. It's a penny. I wonder how many adults would be so keen to put their hand up and say, yeah, I want the penny. Well, I'm glad that you want the penny. Okay, because we're going to learn a lesson, you see, here this morning. Quite often, people can look down upon a penny. If it was lying on the ground, look, it's a tiny one. It's one of the smallest coins there is. Wouldn't worry about that. Sure, it's only a penny. It's not worth very much. In fact, I've heard reports that the government are even thinking of getting rid of the penny because it's so insignificant. And I'm sure some of you this morning, if you lost a penny out of your purse or wallet, sure, who cares? It's only a penny. Only a penny. Quite often people can look down upon a penny. Quite often people can care nothing about a penny. I wonder this morning if there's anybody here and you think, you know, does anybody ever care about me? Perhaps you're here this morning and you think, you know, people look down upon me. People think I'm insignificant. I'm of no value. I'm of no good. Nobody wants to do any good to me. I wonder if you feel sometimes a bit like a penny. Well, you see, we read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, about shepherds. And I'd put it to you this morning that they felt a little bit like a penny. You see, while shepherding at the beginning of the Bible was a very honorable job, we read about Abel being a shepherd, yet as time went on, the job of a shepherd was actually a despised job. People looked down upon shepherds. For example, 200 years before this period of Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, 200 years before Jesus Christ came into this world, there was a document written by the Jews, and there were thousands of people that followed this document. It was known as the Mishnah, and simply it just said that shepherds were incompetent people. It says that shepherds should be deprived of some of their civil rights, not to be treated like other people, normal people. In fact, the document says that, you know, you shouldn't buy milk off a shepherd. You shouldn't buy wool off a shepherd because it's likely the shepherd stole it. Shepherds were looked down upon. Shepherds weren't cared about. In this document, the Mishnah read and followed by thousands of people, it actually says that if you ever found a shepherd had fallen down a pit, such something like a well, if you'd ever found a shepherd falling down a pit, you didn't need to feel obligated to help them out. Shepherds were not cared about. They were looked down. They were despised. I wonder if there's someone here this morning who feels a little bit like the shepherds may have thought and how they may have felt on this dark night. Nobody cares about me. Everybody looks down upon me. They just feel I'm worthless. I'm incompetent. Let me tell you this morning the good news, that God cares. That God sees you not as something that's worthless, but something that is of worth. No matter who you are this morning, no matter what you have done or haven't done, God sees you as valuable. John chapter 3, verse 16, I have no doubt many of the boys and girls could quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the greatest gift he could ever have given, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you this morning. That's what the Bible teaches. You see, the first object I have with me to teach us the first lesson is this. The shepherds are nobodies. Just like the penny, to many people, can be something insignificant. But it's great that there's so many young people cared about the penny, because that's the heart of God. He cares about us. But the second point and truth I want you to see this morning is not merely that the shepherds are nobodies, but the second is this. The shepherds are afraid. And I've got a bag with me of a number of things in it, and there's different points I want to make, and the different objects help us to remember what those points are. And for the young people, whenever you're home and you're having your dinner this afternoon, well, you try and tell your parents all the different points and all the different objects and what they meant. There's a second object. You see, the shepherds are afraid because of their sin. Listen to what the Word of God says. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, we read about the shepherds abiding in the field, watching over their flock by night. Then in verse 9, we read these words, "And lo, behold," take note of this, "the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Do you know that the original language in which this Bible was written, that there's three words that are used? There's the word fear, there's the word mega, and there's the word great. It could literally be said, "And the shepherds had a mega, a great fear." You may say, what made them afraid? To put it in our terminology, they were scared witless. They were petrified. You may say, what made them so afraid? Was there a wolf about? Was there a lion about? What made them so afraid? It was this: the glory of the Lord shone round about them. What to do with anything? Why would that make them afraid? You see, the answer is this: that the glory of the Lord refers to that which is glorious about the Lord, primarily His holiness. In the book of Isaiah, we read about a man, and he records how the glory of God was seen. And in the very same verse, we read of the angels declaring, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." You see, these shepherds, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. The holiness, the perfection, the majesty, the greatness of God shone. And as they saw the holiness of God, they saw the blackness of their hearts, and they were petrified. They were scared witless, because they knew that before a holy God, they were sinners. Before a holy God, they deserved to be cast into hell forever, and they were petrified. Men and women and young people, this morning, the Bible tells in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, that one day, whenever Christ returns, the small and the great and the young and the old and the rich and the poor, all are going to stand before God. And we're going to be judged according to our works, according to our lives. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 6 that there are people that day, and they're petrified. They'll cry for anything to happen to them but simply stand before God. They'd rather mountains fall upon them than stand before God. They'll be petrified because of the blackness of their hearts, because of the sin that's in their hearts. All the times they've been jealous, every time they haven't been thankful to God for the life He's given, every time they haven't loved God with all their heart, every time they've spoken God's name as a curse word, every time they've told a lie and they knew God had given them a mouth to speak the truth, and they're petrified. The Bible tells us, boys and girls, about a man called Belteshazzar, and he was a king, and he was on the top of the world. Things were going well for him, and he lived as he pleased. He had no problems with his health or his wealth in any form. He was just enjoying life, enjoying being entertained. And yet one day everything changed. One day his joy was turned to fear. One day the strength that he had to stand was gone. And the reason wasn't because he became sick. The Bible tells us that his knees actually smote one off the other. He was petrified. You say, what made him so afraid? It was this: because the glory of God entered that room, and he knew he was a sinner. You know, young people, this morning, I must tell you the truth. The Bible tells all of us have sinned, and one day we're going to stand before God. And if we stand before God without our sins washed away, without our sins forgiven, we stand before God still with our sins. We're going to stand before God with a dirty, defiled heart, and we're going to be petrified. Our knees will smite together. God will judge us for our sin. But you know, there's a third truth here, and I want to get to that quickly because it's a wonderful truth. You see, the shepherds, they were nobodies. The shepherds are now afraid because of their sin. But thirdly, the shepherds are comforted. Anybody tell me, what's this here? Yes, it's a rabbit. What's the rabbit got? A wee blanket, a wee comfort blanket. This belongs to our youngest boy. And all of our children have their little comforters. And of course, what is a comforter? It's that which you like. It makes you feel good. Whenever you're scared or afraid, it makes you feel good. It makes everything just seem okay. You see, these shepherds are comforted because while they saw the glory of the God shine round about them, perhaps they began to wonder, what's God going to say through this angel? What's the message from God? Is he going to shout at us? Is he going to open up the ground and we'll just fall into hell? What's God going to say? Well, see, it was a message of comfort. Notice what the Bible says. And this is good news for us all. Because the angel said unto them, verse 10, fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Well, yes, you're a sinner, but don't be afraid. For behold, take note, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The message that God had for these sinful, nobody shepherds was a message of comfort. It was a good message. It was a message that would bring them joy, a message that would thrill their heart, and it was a message just for them. And indeed, it was for everybody, because it was unto all people as this message sent. You say, what was the message? What brought them comfort? What brought them joy? It was this. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What is a Savior? Someone tell me. What's a Savior? Any hands up? Yes, what's a Savior? Yes, Chris. Someone who saves, someone who rescues another. And of course, you're rescued from what you need to be rescued from. And Jesus Christ has come to rescue these shepherds from what they need rescued from. They need rescued from their sin. They need rescued from the guilt of their sin and the wrath of God which is due their sin. They need rescued. But there's two titles that's given to this Savior, which brings comfort. The first title is Christ, one who's chosen of God. That's what that name means, anointed or chosen of God. The Savior that God sent is one whom he will accept. There's no point someone coming and saying, don't worry about your sin. Don't worry about it. I'll save you. And then, whenever you stand before God, and you say, well, hold on, I've asked this minister, I've asked this priest, I've asked my mum or my dad to save me. Well, God says, well, I never chose them to save anybody. God only has one Savior. But this is the good news. If we have Christ as our Savior, then we know that Christ will be accepted as our Savior. We know we're going to be okay. And there's a second title, Lord. The Lord, God, who's got all strength. And if you ask Christ to save you, not merely can you be assured you're going to go to glory, but more than that, nobody can stop your salvation, because who can stop God? Who's stronger than God? Nobody. This is the comforting message for the shepherds, but for you and I. We have a Savior. We ask him to save us, he'll save us, and no one can stop us from being saved. So we've got the penny. These shepherds are nobodies. We've got the black heart. These shepherds are afraid, but praise God, these shepherds are comforted. But then there's the fourth thing. These shepherds are humbled. Someone tell me, what's this here? Yes, Bobby. That's a hammer. It's a hammer. You may think, what's that got to do with the shepherds? Well, listen here. This angel having spoken to them, and these shepherds having heard an angel from heaven come to them and speak to them, and having seen the infinitely glorious and holy and perfect presence of God, and they're just about to see an orchestra, perhaps of them thousands upon thousands of angels singing, they might think, oh, the Savior's going to be a Savior born in a palace. The Savior's going to be a Savior born with great strength physically. He's going to be a great physical Savior. But listen to what the angel said. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe, the one that's just been born as your Savior. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. A feeding trough where cows would have been fed and horses would have been fed. A manger. You see, these shepherds, they may have thought what the Savior was going to be like, but they were told that this Savior, he was going to save, not by bringing a mighty army, but he's going to be saved by, although he's God, humbling himself, and nobody else in all of Bethlehem, I would put it to you, nobody else in all of Israel, indeed anywhere in the world, would have had their baby placed in a feeding trough. But Christ was. And you see, that was a sign. Not merely that this was the Savior, but that the Savior was going to save by humbling himself. That's why he got a hammer. You see, how is the Savior going to save us? It was by having nails hammered through his hands and through his feet. It was going to be through suffering that we were going to be saved. It's not about Christ bringing a mighty army. No, Christ is going to save us by his suffering. If you want to be saved, this is the good news. We can be saved because Christ has suffered already. He shed his blood to pay the debt for our sins, to cover us and to wash our black hearts as white as snow. We can be saved. But saved by that infinite love of Christ. He humbled himself so much to suffer so much at Calvary. These shepherds are humbled that God would love them so much that he would stoop so low to save them. I wonder, do you see how much God's loved you? And not only have you asked Christ to save you, but do you love him with all that you have? You see, that brings me to my fifth point and almost my last one. And it's this, the shepherds, oh yes, they're comforted. Oh yes, they're humbled to see just how much God loves them and is going to suffer them, but the shepherds are encouraged. Does anybody know what this is? It's a wheel. What do you do with that wheel? Somebody know? Yes, Bobby. You drive it? Well, sort of. I was going to say my little boy knows it, but Lily's got him well. He's conked out. Lily's looking after him very well. Do you know, Hannah, what's this for? Yeah, so what you do is you get down your knees. I'm not going to do it. I'm not very good. You get down your knees and you push it out in front of you. And the idea is it's meant to put strength into you. It's meant to make you strong. And that's what the word encourage means. It means to put strength into you. And you see, these shepherds, we never thought about it before, but after they were told the good news, do you know what they saw? They saw angels. It was one angel that spoke the message, but then after they were comforted with the message, then a multitude of angels came. And what were they doing? They were encouraging the shepherds. Because you see, the angels had their faces. Where do you think they were looking? Think we're looking at the shepherds? Or where do you think the angels were looking? Any ideas? Yes, Grace. In the sky. But they were looking up at God because they were singing praise to God in the highest. And you see, they were saying peace, goodwill toward men. The angels had their eyes upon God. And the angels believed the message from God. They had forever, for 6,000 years, they had seen the goodness and the trustworthiness of God. And they believed this message that God was true. And that was an encouragement to the shepherds, because remember, they're nobodies. But they looked at themselves, well, God wouldn't love me. God wouldn't save me. But hold on, get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes on God. Get your eyes on how trustworthy God is. That his message is true. And that he loves you. He loves you. He came down to this earth to pay the debt for sinners. Get your eyes off yourself. Strength is put into these shepherds. Get your eyes on God and his love to you and the trustworthiness of his message. And then that brings me to the last point. And it's this. What's this here? Yes, Sergio. It's a passport. And the purpose of the passport is showing you who you are. Showing you who you are. These shepherds, remember, at the very beginning, they're nobodies. But believing the message, being encouraged by the angels, we find that they make haste, they run. I was going to bring a trainer in, but it was a bit smelly. But they ran to see this babe. And they ran and they searched diligently. And we read that they found Christ who had been born. And seeing the reality of this good news, do you know what they did? They went out and they told others. You see, they believed the message and they were changed. Once they were nobodies, but now they're somebody. Who are they? Who are they? They're the children of God. They're the children of God. They've got a purpose now. To love God who loved them and to tell others all about it. I can just imagine, and with this I finish, I can imagine them going into the town that morning. I can imagine an old grumpy one. Imagine one of the shepherds. He was known for being grumpy. And there he was in the town square the next day. There was people gathered from all over the world because of the census. And they saw this old grumpy man. But they didn't see him grumpy anymore. They saw him joyful. They saw him singing a psalm. Well, what's changed you? Ah, the Savior's been born. And then I can imagine him seeing one of the other shepherds in the town square that next day. And he was returning things he had stolen from the shops. What's changed your heart? Ah, the Saviour's been born. You can imagine somebody else and one of the other shepherds. People ask them, is it true? Is it true? And they all gather together. It's true. We've seen it with our very own eyes. The Saviour's been born. And we're no longer nobodies. We're the children of the King. The one who loved us will go to that cross to pay for this debt for our sins. Let me ask this morning, are you one who's changed? Are you one who can say you're the child of the King? Because like you're like the angels, you're getting your eyes off yourself and onto the Lord who loved you. You're believing the trustworthiness of his message that Christ came down to this earth for you. And as a result, you're loving him above all and you're living for him. The whole purpose is to live for him who is your King. Will you believe this message? And we love Christ who gave us all for you. What will you do with the gospel? Believe it. Receive it. Love Christ in light of it. He suffered more than we could ever imagine. I want to thank you for listening so well. May the Lord bless those truths to our hearts. We're going to finish by singing just three verses of a final hymn. It's hymn number 88. Who is he in yonder stall at whose feet the shepherds fall? 'Tis the Lord, O wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. And we'll stand to sing the first three verses of this hymn, please. Father, bless the truth to every heart. Many that are lost this morning, still in their sins, realizing that one day they would be petrified, their knees will be knocking if they stand before Christ with their sins on them. Father, may they hear the good news that Christ came into this world to save sinners, and he offers that salvation to you all this morning. And may they turn from their sins and put their trust in Christ, who is a trustworthy Savior, the one who is accepted by God, and may they be assured of their salvation. Lord, help us to see how Christ has lowered himself so much that through that suffering, and help us to love him who's loved us more than anybody else in this earth. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please remember the services this evening at 7 p.m. and God willing, I'll be speaking on the subject, the treasures of the snow. And certainly be great to have you along tonight.